This program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. I am Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today, for the next hour, we are going to talk about some amazing things, some things that are going to blow your mind. And they're all true. They're ripped right from the headlines. But did you know that before the headlines got a hold of today's news, it was already there waiting for you within the pages of your King James Bible? And I've known about these things for 29 years. And as shocking as they are, and as terrible and as awesome as some of these things are, I'll be honest with you, it's exciting to see what the Bible said would come to pass. And it's terrible. It's awesome. It's a time unlike any other in human history. This is the time of the end. You know, it says in the book of Habakkuk, verse 5, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." And so the Bible has already told us that God is going to work a work in our day that is so unbelievably incredible that there will be people who they'll watch it, they'll live it, they'll experience it, and they won't believe it happening, even though they're watching it happen and it's told to them through the pages of prophecy. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on today's program. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you, Father God, for this platform and this place and this time, and we ask you, Lord, if there's one here who's listening to this program who's not saved, that something would be said and done that would cause them to turn towards you. Your word says that whosoever shall confess your name shall be saved. The Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And so, Lord, we just pray, Father God, that your word would go forward in spirit and in truth, and that you would lift up, Lord, people in these times, and let them know exactly what's happening. And we commit this to you, Lord. We ask for your blessing and your provision and your protection. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday to you. I hope you all had a good weekend. And I don't know what it's like where you live, but here in St. Augustine in Northeast Florida, this past weekend, a lot of people, with or without the approval of the government, are coming out of lockdown. And even my own church this past Sunday went from a parking lot church, a drive-in church, to they opened up the doors and we sat inside church yesterday, and that church was absolutely filled. So again, I don't know what it's like in your state or in your country, but here in Florida, the lockdown is absolutely beginning to lift. But what type of world will we be returning to when the lockdown is over? Because look, even if this is the mark of the beast, which it certainly more and more every passing day, it looks like it is. But even if it is, the lockdown's going to lift, the lockdown's going to end. And here's the real problem that people are going to have. When that lockdown lifts and everybody goes back to their favorite restaurant, goes back to their church, goes back to swimming on the beach, and eventually the gyms will open back up and the pools, everything is at some point, it's going to open back up. But the stuff that they locked us down so that they could put in place is never going away, and it's never going to change. And what they're counting on is when the lockdown is finally lifted in America and around the world, they are counting on the fact that you are going to return to your previous life, and you're going to be so consumed by the sports and the programming and the keeping up with the Kardashians and the Bachelorette and all the rest of that crap that the New World Order uses to distract you with, they're counting on the fact that when the lockdown is lifted, you're going to go back to your old way of life and you're going to forget all about this nasty COVID-19 nonsense. And you're going to want to wake up from this bad dream and you're going to want to forget that all of this stuff ever happened. And that is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. There is no going back to your old life. Your old life doesn't exist. When the Jews were rounded up in Nazi Germany and they were put on train cars and taken to Auschwitz and Ravensbrück and all the other concentration camps, when those 12 million people, half Jew and half Gentile, were taken to those concentration camps, their lives were never the same. Now, 12 million people died in those concentration camps, but for the ones who lived through it, they never went back to their previous life, ever. There was no previous life to go back to because what they had experienced and what they had seen had changed them to such a degree that they could never, ever go back to the way it was. And that's the way it's going to be with me and you. Why do you think they locked us down on COVID-19, but they didn't lock us down for SARS or MERS or West Nile virus or bird flu? They didn't even lock us down for AIDS. My older brother died of AIDS. Anthony Fauci helped to kill my brother by recommending that doctors start prescribing a treatment called AZT. And AZT was a failed chemotherapy from the 1950s, and it absolutely killed my brother in 18 months. It destroyed him. It ripped his body to pieces, and he died of a heart attack. He died of liver failure, and he died not of AIDS. He died from this horrible, horrible chemical that they gave him that Anthony Fauci said would be what they needed to have, and it killed my brother. But even with all of that hysteria and hoopla about AIDS and all those things, we were never locked down. We were never quarantined. We were never given wristbands or wrist bracelets or tracking devices. But we are with COVID-19. There is no going back. The New World Order has begun. It has risen up. Now, we've told you that over in France, Emmanuel Macron is the person who desperately wants to lead the New World Order. He has thrown his hat into the ring, and for the past several months, he has been petitioning the UN Security Council, which is made up of five nations, and he has the backing of the WHO, he has the backing of the United Nations, and 2 weeks ago, in a phone call with Pope Francis, Emmanuel Macron received the Pope's blessing, and the Pope wants Macron to be the New World Order leader as well. And so this is where we stand now, and this is why they locked us down. They locked us down and they terrified us because they wanted us to not be paying attention to everything that they were doing. They needed 2 months worth of time to put the foundations into place for the New World Order. Now, I don't know what it's like in your country, but here in America, the COVID-19 crisis has absolutely exposed how weak and what in horrible condition our own government is in. And they somehow have magically produced $10 trillion in combined COVID stimulus. Now, ask yourself this question. Where did they get the $10 trillion? Do you have any idea how much money $10 trillion is? It is so much money, I can't even begin to tell you how much money it is. But where did we suddenly, in a span of just a couple of weeks, where did we produce $10 trillion from? Well, we just made it up. We just, the order was given. The money was digitally created. It wasn't even printed. It was just digitally created. And if that doesn't show you how fraudulent the entire system is, I don't know what will. But to just magically produce $10 trillion at the drop of a hat, I mean, that raises far more questions than it answers. But that's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves in the very beginning of the New World Order. If you were here for our Sunday night Bible study last night, we talked about the 10-nation confederacy, which rises in Europe under Antichrist. And that's why we're spending so much time looking at Emmanuel Macron. And in just a couple of days, we are going to release the proof that Emmanuel Macron, in his DNA, he has Jewish ancestry and he has Assyrian ancestry. We have found the proof to make that case. Now, why is that important to know that Emmanuel Macron, in his ancestry, has both Jewish blood and Assyrian blood? Well, because the Bible says that the Antichrist in Daniel 11:37, and this is a verse that people talk about all the time, neither shall he, Daniel 11:37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Okay, so when Daniel says that the Antichrist will not regard the capital G God of his fathers, Daniel is saying that part of the DNA of Antichrist is going to be Jewish. And that's what Daniel means when he says in Daniel 11:37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. And then Isaiah, and you got to remember that Daniel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah were all contemporary with each other. And I see Clay has a question about Judas, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. That's a good question. Isaiah, who is a contemporary of Daniel, he says this about the character of the Antichrist. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in my hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the prey and to take the spoil and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. So Isaiah says that part of the nature of Antichrist is he is from the region of Assyria. And so when you put those two things together, we see that Antichrist is going to be part Jewish. He is going to be part Assyrian. And that is exactly what we have found out in the DNA ancestry of Emmanuel Macron, who is the president of France, and we're keeping an eye on him. But in just a day or two, our research will be complete, and I will be posting the results of our findings, and we will show you that from a biblical perspective. Now, he may not be the Antichrist. I'm not saying he is. But he is so far and away ahead of anybody else who could possibly be a candidate for that, that it's just going to blow you away. Now, Clay had a question. Clay wants to know, and again, today on today's program, we are going to be talking about the coming surveillance society that is going to be put in place to deal with the COVID-19 I don't know what you'd call it. I call it a Trojan horse, but hysteria, crisis, pandemic, plandemic. So in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the unbelievable surveillance society that is being created right now. But Clay had a question. Clay asks, where do I think that Judas Iscariot is right now? And the Bible has an answer for that, a very clear and very definite answer. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 25, we read this, Acts 1, verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. That's Acts 1, verse 25. And Judas, for the last 2,000 years, has been in his own place, and I would say it's in the heart of the earth. I would say very confidently it is in the region known as hell. And exactly what compromises his own place, I have no idea. But I know that he's the only one there. He is completely alone. He's completely by himself. And I also know that he is going to be returning from that place shortly after the rapture of the church takes place. But does that mean that the human body that Judas is going to inhabit, does that mean that that can't take place until he comes back? No, it does not mean that. And it could certainly work that Emmanuel Macron is going to be the body in which Judas as a entity is going to return to and going to inhabit. So it's a multi-step spiritual process. So you have to remember, Lori says, you do not mean the lake of fire, do you? As I understand, it is not opened yet. No, Lori, the lake of fire will not be created fully until Revelation chapter 20, after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And we see that. Just turn to Acts chapter 20 for a moment. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Lori had a question about the lake of fire. And in Revelation chapter 20, we read this, starting in verse 7. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So there we see the last battle that will take place in human history. It's the battle of Gog and Magog from Revelation 20, verse 8. And that's the same battle that we see in Ezekiel chapter 38. And then, of course, the battle in Ezekiel chapter 9 is the battle of Armageddon that takes place at the second coming. So in Revelation 20, verse 8, we see the final world battle, the final battle of Antichrist, and it's the battle of Gog and Magog from Ezekiel 38. And then it says in verse 9 and 10, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then it goes on to talk about the great white throne judgment. And then everything is put in its proper place. Everybody who died and went to hell and has been there for thousands of years, they will be brought out for one last sentencing. And then the unsaved dead and the devil and Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, and all those things, they're all go, and hell itself is going to get placed into the lake of fire. and then it's going to be kicked far, far away. And then in Revelation 21, that's where eternity begins. But in order for eternity to begin, you have to have all sin judged, all sinners removed. You have to have death and hell be put into the lake of fire, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan himself are all going to be dumped into the lake of fire, and then it's going to be booted far, far, far away. And then in Revelation 21, we have the start of eternity. And this is what Peter is talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And after the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, we are going to have final judgment. We're going to have complete justice. The Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And he absolutely will. And no one will be escaped from that judgment. And that's why we tell you, we ask you, we beg you, we implore you. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because if you miss the rapture of the church, you are going to be left behind to face the wrath of Antichrist. But the wrath doesn't come right away as wrath. It comes as false peace and false prosperity and false safety, and God is going to send you a strong delusion that you would believe the lie that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. Now, we have a section on our website, and I'm putting the link into the chat room, but if you're not in the chat room, just go to the Bible study section, mouse over Bible doctrine, and then click on the section that says Left Behind. We have started to create an archive of articles that we've written to people who have been left behind. And I just put the link into the chat room. Please bookmark that link. Share those stories. Share those articles. If you have lost people in your life, as we all do, I have lost family members. Breaks my heart, but I do. And many, most of us have that same story. So we've started to create a section called Left Behind, and it's hardcore Bible doctrine. And if anybody who was left behind will read those articles, there will be stuff in there that will absolutely help them if they can somehow manage to overcome the strong delusion. And TJ requested that we do a complete program devoted to people who have been left behind. And Lord willing, we're going to do that Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our Wednesday night 2-hour Bible study. So please join us for that. If you have a heart for people who are going to be left behind, we are going to devote 2 solid hours to talking about what we can do for our friends and loved ones and even strangers who have been left behind. And I believe that it's part of what God has called us to do in the church age. We're rightly dividing. We're dispensationally correct. But why can't we leave some breadcrumbs for the people who are left behind? It breaks my heart that there will be people that I know and love that won't be coming with us. And I don't look at that as any sort of superiority or arrogance. I weep over that. I cry over that. And I know you guys do as well. So we are going to be greatly intensifying our efforts to leave things for the people who are going to be left behind. And that show will be Wednesday night at 9 p.m. for 2 hours. So please join us if you'd like to discuss and hear about what it's going to be like for the people who will be left behind and what we can do to minister to those people even after Flight 777 takes us up and out of here. Now, Karen has a question. Karen's question, and let me see if I can pull it up. Karen has a good question. She says, how should we be spending our money that we still have in light of everything that is happening? So the question is, if it's true that we're getting ready to get out of here, what type of purchases, what type of spending should we be doing knowing that our time is short and it's highly likely that we'll be leaving soon? Well, the first thing that I would say, Karen, is pray about it. Pray and ask God what he would have you do with the money that you have. And all of us, some of us have small resources, some of us have tremendous resources, and everything in between. So the first thing that I would say to you is pray and ask God what he would have you do with the money that you have, the resources, the capital that you have, because you want God to be directing whatever decisions that you're going to be making. Do not allow the fear of what's coming to direct your spending. That's what the devil would have you do. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to direct your spending and to put it where God wants it to be. Remember, in heaven, money is so useless that God takes gold, the very thing that people kill and die for down here on earth and betray each other for and stab each other in the back for. Gold is what God paves the streets with up in heaven and in the New Jerusalem. So that's what God thinks of money. Jesus made Judas the treasurer for the group. Jesus put Judas in charge of the money. He didn't let the other guys be in charge of the money. So what I've been doing is I've been praying and asking God, where would you like me to spend my money? And God has opened up multiples where I feel with all my heart, God wants me to direct that. I mean, I don't have a lot of money, but where God wants me to direct my money, and I have been putting it in the hands of people and organizations that God is telling me to support. And that's what I personally have been doing. I'm trying to be very responsible with my bills. I'm still paying taxes. None of that has changed, okay? And do not let that type of mentality to force you and push you into doing wacky and crazy things just because we're living in the time of the New World Order and the end times. If you ask God what he wants you to do with the money, and you have the Holy Spirit inside you, I am quite positive God will tell you what to do. Now, there have been a lot of people who have been donating to Now the End Begins. I had a man just 2 weeks ago, and he said to me, I heard on your Bible study program that you are actually giving away free King James Bibles and gospel tracts to people who can't afford them. He said, I'd like to send you a check from me and my wife so that people can have Bibles. And that man sent me $1,000 2 weeks ago. And I took that check and I got on the phone with the PBI bookstore in Pensacola and I purchased 3 full cases of King James Bibles. And this week, we're going to start sending them out. Now, it's expensive. The Bibles are not cheap. The Bibles cost around $24.95 a piece, and it's going to cost because they have to go in a medium-sized box in the post office. It's going to cost $15.95 to ship every single one of those Bibles. So that $1,000 that that man gave me is going to send out three cases of Bibles here in America and around the world. And I can do that because that man asked God, what would you have me and my wife do in these end times? And I guess God told that man, send $1,000 to Now the End Begins because he's going to buy Bibles and he's going to send my word out. So if everybody prays and asks God what to do with the money, God's going to tell you. And now Puddle Jumper is saying that they have sent me an email and I haven't responded, and I apologize for that. Our mailing address is Now the End Begins, Post Office Box 3378, St. Augustine, and I'm typing as I'm talking, Florida, 32085. If you have anything that you need to send to me, you can send it to Now the End Begins, Post Office Box 3378, St. Augustine, Florida, 32085. And we do answer all emails, but believe me when I tell you, I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails that I am in the process of getting to. So if you've written to me, I will absolutely answer your email. Just please be patient. All right. So, Karen, I hope that answered your question. That advice, I believe, is biblical, and I believe it's what God would have us do. That's what I am doing myself, and that's what you asked my opinion. That's what I think that all of us should do. We should pray and say, God, what would you have me do with the resources that you've blessed me with? Where should I put this money as we see the end approaching? So that's what I'm doing. And I think it's pretty good. It's definitely biblical. It's definitely godly. And, prayerfully consider doing the same thing yourself. So, okay, moving on to today's topic. Today's topic is something that God has really brought to my attention in the last couple of days, because we are starting to get to the place where lockdown is being lifted. And my daughter and I went to the beach this past weekend, and it was beautiful, and we had a great time. I'll see if I can, do I have a picture of that? Yeah, here's a picture of me on the beach as of Saturday. But if you look at that picture, you will see that there was a sign on the beach that says CDC guidelines, practice social distancing, groups no larger than 10 people maintain 6-foot distance to others. So you are going to see those signs for many, many months, long after the lockdown has lifted. Social distancing will not be lifted at the same time the actual lockdown is lifted. So you have to prepare yourself for a lot of social distancing. But that's a very minor thing compared to the main thing that's coming. And I'm going to put a couple more pictures into the chat room. And I want to show you what the New World Order has been preparing for you and for I. Okay? And we've spoken about the immunity passport, and that is absolutely something that's going to be digital. It's going to be from the ID 2020 people or somebody just like them. But take a look at this image in the chat room, and it's called the COVID-19 BLE wristband. And it's from Accent Systems. It kind of looks a little bit like a cheaper version of a iWatch. And it goes on your wrist, and it's going to track you everywhere that you go. And they're trying to make it stylish because they want people to wear them. And of course, your cell phones are definitely going to be tracking you. And it's not just through an app. It's going to be in the next month, they're going to release updates to the software where they are going to The actual software that your mobile device runs on is going to be updated to track you constantly. It's something called contact tracing. But believe me when I tell you, contact tracing is nothing more than the Mark of the Beast system. And that's exactly what they plan on doing. That's what they are doing. And so you have to be ready for that and be mentally prepared, because all these things are actually being rolled out right now. And they're being rolled out in every country on the face of the earth. And let me just put this last picture into the chat room for you. This picture was created on April 15th, so it's just about 3 weeks ago. And take a look at that and how 6 billion people on Earth carry with them a mobile device of some kind, a tablet, a phone, Google, iPhone, whatever it happens to be, Android, whatever the operating system is. And what they are doing is they are turning all, Lulu says, will this be on my Kindle? Absolutely. It's going to be built into the operating software. So it is not something that you can avoid just simply by saying, I won't download a certain app. It's going to be built into the operating system software. And that's how it's going to go. And there will be no not using it. Because what they're going to do, if you don't take the update, they're going to turn your device off. And that's how it works. And they will absolutely, it's kind of like what Microsoft does. After a certain period of time, Microsoft abandons previous versions of their software and they no longer support it. And that's exactly what they're going to be doing. And here, I have a link that a story that I wrote back on April 10th, and the headline says, it begins. So Cindy says, what if you don't install the updates? Well, they're just going to turn your phone off. So it's not optional. There's no getting around it. And I don't say these things to scare you. I say these things to prepare you of what's coming. There was no option for the Jewish people not to take the yellow star that Hitler wanted them to wear. They did it first. And at first, there were Jewish people who ripped that star in half, and they defiantly told Hitler that they weren't going to wear his yellow star. But eventually, they all did. Okay? And Hitler is an amazing type of Antichrist, and Nazi Germany is an incredible, incredible type picture of what's going to happen in the tribulation and the time of Jacob's trouble. Did you know that the first concentration camps started operating in 1938, and the last concentration camp shut down in 1945 at the end of World War II? Do you know how many years that is between 1938 in 1945, if you had a guess, if somebody is good at math? If Hitler's concentration camp started in 38 and they ended in 45, that's 7 years. And how long is the time of Jacob's trouble? It's 7 years. And how long is the Great Tribulation? It's the last half. It's 3.5 years. And everything that Adolf Hitler did is an amazing type of how it's actually going to be in the time of Jacob's trouble after the rapture. So, you have to remember that when Hitler started persecuting the Jews, it was kind of soft at first, and it was kind of laid back. And the things that he made them do, they started out as really kind of like suggestions. It's kind of like when President Trump, back on March 23rd, and he talked about a 15-day window, and it was a suggestion. But then what happened after those 15 days were over? After the 15 days were over, it wasn't a suggestion. It became mandated, and the entire economy was shut down. So even in our day, we have an amazing example that when the government wants to start doing the nasty things that the Bible says the governments will do, it's going to start out almost voluntary. It's going to start out almost like a suggestion. And then it's going to become mandatory. So it's going to go exactly like this with the COVID-19 tracking things. And in my article on April 10th, I said Apple and Google announced a system for tracking the spread of the new coronavirus, allowing users to share data through BLE, Bluetooth Low Energy Transmissions, and approved apps from health organizations. So you're going to start seeing a whole lot of things that are called BLE. And I put that image of the wristband back into the chat room, the COVID-19 BLE wristband from Accent Systems. The BLE stands for Bluetooth Low Energy Transmissions. And so now Apple and Google, who are the world's absolute two largest manufacturers of mobile devices and tablets, they have conspired together to turn their operating software into a contact tracing device. And it says here, the new system, which is laid out in a series of documents and white papers, would use short-range Bluetooth communications to establish a voluntary, at first, contact tracing network, keeping extensive data on phones that have been in close proximity with each other. Official apps from public health authorities will get access to the data, and users who download them can report if they've been diagnosed with COVID-19. The system will also alert people who download them to whether they were in close contact with somebody who was in touch with an infected person. So that's how that's going to go. And take a look at this very simple chart. But this is how contact tracing works. Bob and Alice meet each other for the first time. They're sitting on a park bench. They have a 10-minute conversation. Then Bob is later positively diagnosed for COVID-19, and he enters the test results in an app from a public health authority. Their phones exchange anonymous identifier beacons, which change frequently. And then with Bob's consent, his iPhone uploads the last 14 days of keys for his broadcast beacons to the clouds. And of course, in that 14 days, he is going to be identifying Alice as a woman that he met with, and his phone will have all the information. I listened to an interview yesterday with Edward Snowden. And those of you may know who he is. He's a whistleblower who he was the very first person that lifted the lid on the horrendous surveillance and spying activities of the United States government under President Obama. And he was asked in this interview that I watched yesterday, they asked him, what happens if your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, your BlackBerry, if they still have them, whatever you happen to have. And they gave Snowden the scenario, what if my iPhone is sitting on my desk and it's locked, the screen is black, and I'm having no interaction of any kind with my phone? Snowden said that phone that is sitting on your tabletop, locked with a black screen, never stops sharing information with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of data collection sources. Most of them are being used to sell you advertising. But the larger picture that what you have to look at, the larger picture is that network has been created where your phone is it's in constant chatter with hundreds of other data collection sources, and it never stops. So if the government was to hack into your phone, they could take a video of you and record the audio, even if your phone was locked and the screen was black. Just because the screen is black, that doesn't mean that the phone is not sending audio or video or recording audio and video. The screen is simply what it's showing you. The screen is not necessarily an accurate indication of what the phone is doing. Now, just as our human brains, even as we sleep, never stop working out scenarios and thinking of things and all these crazy dreams that we have in our minds are constantly working things out, your phones never sleep. And they never, it's called chatter is what it's called. And phones never stop chattering with other data collection sources. Now, one thing that's really, really very popular is what's called the digital assistant. You have heard, you've seen the memes, Alexa, find me a recipe for French toast. Alexa, do I need my sweater today? Alexa, play, and then you tell it to play such and such a song. Okay? Amazon has sold over 100 million as of June of 2019. Amazon has sold over 100 million Alexa digital assistants that sit in. Now, I'm sure if this was a year ago, I am sure it's much closer to half a billion that have been sold. Amazon is the largest company on the face of the earth. So if they sold 100 million this time last year, I am quite positive it's at least 3, 4, possibly even as high as 500 million. And then, of course, Google has their digital assistant as well. So you have close to maybe 750 million homes around the world that have digital assistants. They never stop recording. They never stop listening to you. And they are sending that information to places like the Utah Data Center. And the Utah Data Center is, at the time, it was the largest data center on the face of the earth. It is an unbelievably, now we talked about this back in 2013, and I actually haven't updated this story, and maybe it's time for me to do so. But 7 years ago, we brought you the story that the National Security Agency in America was building something called the Utah Data Center. And the Utah Data Center was created in light of the Patriot Act, which gave the government the right to spy on every single American, to record every single phone call, to record every single text message, to record anything that you could ever record or create digitally. The Utah Data Center is where all those secrets are stored. Back in 2013, they spent $2 billion to create it. And at the time, it was the world's largest data collection agency. I will update that article because I realize I haven't updated it in a while. But there are many more such agencies. Now, Susan says it reminds her of the book 1984. Susan, 1984, the only thing that was wrong about that book was the year. That was the only thing that was wrong about the book 1984. If you change the title of 1984 to 2020, then you have perfect harmony, because that's exactly what's happening in our day right now. Now, somebody else asked a question. What about smart television sets? Well, back in 2015, we did an article called, "Uh-oh, your fancy new smart TV is a lot smarter than you think it is." And then in 2017, we updated that article with Vizio smart TVs spied on 11 million viewers 24 hours per day without their knowledge or consent. And then, of course, there are other articles. Samsung, when you buy one of their new smart TVs, it comes with a disclaimer saying that you have no right to expect any level of privacy once you turn that TV on. It is monitoring everything you watch. It is, if it has a microphone, it is listening to everything that you say. And so when you look at exactly where technology has brought us, we are living right now in the mark of the beast system. I am not saying that the mark of the beast system is coming. I am telling you the mark of the beast system is already here, and it is very advanced. And everywhere you go where you see a digital anything, you've got to remember that all those things talk to each other. They are all connected to each other. And of course, we do story after story after story about the Mark of the Beast world system. Now, when did the Mark of the Beast world system come online? Well, you know exactly when the Mark of the Beast world system came online. It came online in the spring of 1994 when they released the internet for everybody else to use who wasn't a school or a government agency. They invented the internet in 1968, and when Apple computers started getting popular in the 1980s, there was something called a BBS, or a bulletin board service, and even some websites that exist now, like RaptureReady.com, the very, very first end times website in the world. A lot of people are surprised that RaptureReady.com, they actually came online in 1988 as a bulletin board service that college students had access to, and they would simply post basically text messages about what they were talking about. So the Mark of the Beast system is the internet. So we have been living with the basic platform of the Mark of the Beast system. We've been living with it now for 26 years. And then, of course, from 1994 all the way up to 2007, that is one period of time. And everybody got used to being, the whole world. You can ask, you can Google it, and you can ask questions. You can find out anything you want to know. And then the whole world fell in love with the internet. Now, Carl is correcting me in the chat room, and he says that it was invented in 1968, not 1968. I stand corrected. Thank you for letting us know about that. But suffice to say that when people fell in love with the internet, like I did, and I became a web designer in 1995, and God gave me web design skills, and when you go to nowtheendbegins.com, I made that website. But how did I make it? Because God gave me the skills to do it, because I saw the internet in 1994, and I thought it was the greatest, coolest thing that I had ever seen in terms of technology, and I embraced it wholeheartedly. But guess what? The whole rest of the world did too. And then from 1994 all the way up to 2007, everybody got used to doing everything through a website. So what happened in 2007? In 2007, they released the iPhone, the world's first mobile, portable, pocket mobile device that you could talk on, take pictures with. And the iPhone was a revolution. And what came with that revolution was mobile apps. So from 2007 to 2020, the entire world now does business through an app. If you get a credit card, the very first thing they tell you, download the app. If you have an account with your power and light company and you have a problem, they say, hey, why don't you download the app and you can, you know, we have things in place that we don't have on the website that you can do on the app. So that's what they do, is everything is not only on the internet, it is moved from the computer to your mobile device to your pocket to an app. And then very, very shortly, I would say in less than a year, you are going to see devices implanted inside the human body. Now, if you think that that is far-fetched, that people are going to start receiving devices inside their body within a year's time, that is not far-fetched at all. That is right on the money. And if you go to our Mark of the Beast section on our website, you can read dozens, hundreds of articles about all this crazy technology, right, that's going on, and how in Europe, hundreds of thousands of people are already walking around with microchips in their hand. 2019, we said that Neuralink founder Elon Musk says first prototype to connect human brains to computers with implantable microchips powered by AI ready in 2020. There is a company in Wisconsin called Three Square Market, and Three Square Market has been making implantable RFID microchips for 3 years now. And every year they go to conventions and they sell people on the technology, and more people all across the world. But even here in America, there are thousands and thousands of people here in America right now that have microchips in the back of their hands, and they are using it to conduct financial transactions, to open doors and to start their computers and for all sorts of things. That is happening right now. Last year, we brought you this article, and I'll put the link into the chat room, but I highly advise that you go to our Mark of the Beast section on our website, because it's going to be a real eye-opener for you. But last year, we did this article from a news program on NBC News, and this is what they had to say. NBC News began openly promoting the benefits of receiving an implantable microchip to take the place of your wallet, your keys, and personal identification. So this is last year, okay? So we have about 4 minutes left to this program. Let me wrap all this up for you. The coronavirus is a real virus. Really kills real people. I've said many times, make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you're taking vitamins to keep your body healthy and strong. Make sure you're getting your rest and drinking lots of water, because you need to keep your body strong. The coronavirus is not fake. It's not a hoax. It's real. And in America, 65,000 people have died in 6 weeks. That's a lot of dead people. So make sure that you are caring for yourself and for your loved ones. If you feel the need to stay home, stay home. We have been self-isolating for the entire time now. I only go out to the post office and to the public supermarket. And yet I've been going to church, but it was only yesterday that the doors finally opened. I've been going to parking lot church for a month now. But that said, that coronavirus is a real virus and you have to be careful. At the same time, it's being hijacked by the New World Order. And you are going to start seeing in the next couple of months, you are going to start seeing all these devices, and they are going to make you take a vaccination. It may be voluntary at first. I don't know. But if we follow the pattern of Adolf Hitler and not in Nazi Germany as a type, it will be voluntary at first for a very short period of time. And then it's going to be mandatory. And I can absolutely, look, I'm telling you right now, within the next year, we will definitely reach the point once they have the vaccine that if you don't take the vaccine, they're going to take your passport. They're going to take your driver's license. They're not going to let you report to work. They are absolutely. Why do you think they gave all these companies stimulus money? Do you have any idea why they gave all these companies stimulus money? They gave them the stimulus money so they can tell them what to do when the time comes. And most of us have an employer. I don't. I work for myself. God is my employer. But most of us have a company that we report to. It is a guarantee that every major company in America, especially the ones that receive the bailouts, they are going to be told by the government that every one of their workers must receive a vaccination and have proof of that vaccination. That's a guarantee. Look, when I worked for Citibank, back in 2011 to 2014, I did not have a choice. If I wanted to work there, I had to have my eyes scanned by a retina scanner. And in order for me to enter certain buildings, I could not use my ID badge that I hung on my belt. In order for me to enter certain buildings, I had to put my face into a retina scanner and have that machine scan my retina. And that was the only way that door was going to open. And that was 7 years ago. That was 9 years ago. Do you have any idea how far technology has increased in the last 9 years? So, it is a guarantee. It is a guarantee that as the lockdown lifts and people start forgetting about everything and going back to their multiple distractions and baseball and football and basketball and what's on TV and, oh, did you see that thing on Fox News and blah, blah, blah. Those are all time-wasting distractions. And they are counting on the fact that you're going to go back to it. Why do you think that for the first 3 weeks of the entire crisis here in America, the only story that people talked about was the toilet paper shortage? Do you know why they created a toilet paper shortage? So that you wouldn't be paying attention to what they were really doing. It was a distraction. And all everybody talked about was, do you have enough paper? Got to get paper. I've got to go to Costco. I've got to stand in line. I only have 50 rolls. I need 100 more. I've got a stockpile. I have to have it. I have to have it. And that distracted an entire nation for 3 solid weeks. Do you see how easily people are fooled? Well, that's exactly what they're counting on when the lockdown lifts. And they want you to go back to your old life. And they want you to stop paying attention. And when they come around with that vaccine, they're going to make you take it. And if you don't take it, you're going to lose your driver's license. You're going to lose your passport. Your employer will not allow you to come to work if you work for any decent-sized company that has more than 25 employees. Your own boss is going to say to you, come on, Mary Sue. Come on, Billy Bob. You better take the vaccine. We can't let you back if you don't take it. That is what is going to happen. And all the tracking devices, the bracelets, the contact tracing, the mobile apps, the software, the digital IDs. That's exactly what they are releasing right now. Now, we are out of time. But I want to share one more story with you. This was an eye-opener from yesterday, and it shocked a lot of people. But we have discovered that part of the components that's going to make Bill Gates' vaccination system, now I'm not talking about the needle that goes into your arm. That is only one part of it. I am talking about the entire system of which the vaccination is only one small part. The system that Bill Gates has created is a massive, massive, massive system, which has a vaccination, has a digital ID, has an immunity passport. It's going to track you. It's going to trace you. It's going to inject nanoparticles into your body. It's going to connect with satellites that are launching in the next 6 months that are going to ring the world. And all these things. It is not just the vaccine. So don't think of it as simply just the syringe with a needle that goes in your arm. It is an entire system. But that link that I just put into the chat room, Bill Gates' system is going to use an enzyme called luciferase, L-U-C-I-F-E-R-A-S-E. And read that article. I don't have time to talk about it now. We're out of time. But read that article on how Bill Gates' vaccination and digital tracking system is going to use an enzyme called luciferase. And that is a fact, and that is truth. And if you don't believe it, let me end with the same verse that we started with today. And I want you to write this verse down, and I want you to memorize. If you're saved and you want a good verse to memorize for the times that we live in, it's this one right here, Habakkuk 1:5, in your King James Bible. Habakkuk 1:5. Behold, Habakkuk says. He says, behold and wonder marvelously, for I work a work in your day which you will not believe, though it be told you. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. We are telling you what the work is. You are watching it happen in front of your face. Believe it. It's real, and it's happening. It is the mark of the beast system, and it is here. It's not coming. It is here. But I want you to remember that God, who saved you whenever you got saved, you are safe in his hand. And Paul says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are on flight 77. We are buckled in. The engines have been turned on. We are just waiting for a few more passengers to take their seats. And in just a moment, we are going to be taxiing on the runway on Titus 213 Airlines. And that is where we're headed. And we're going to be leaving this whole mess behind. Join us Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a very special two-hour program, and it's going to be completely geared to the people who will be left behind and what we can leave as a legacy for them that might be very helpful for them in the coming days. Thank you, everyone, and have a great afternoon.